Some portion of scripture for us. I'm not sure if you've read through this recently. Actually, it would have been wonderful to read through the whole of Colossians. If you have time, do that. It's only a few pages. And it's just wonderful to read through what God has to say to us there. But I want to read, just if you would look down in your Bibles, if you have it, chapter 2, verse 6 onwards. It says there, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in a bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." We'll read that far. I trust you were able to follow along with me as I read that and get an idea of what Paul is trying to say to us. He is speaking to Christians. I'm looking for my hanky and Kirsten has taken it. Let me do without the glasses. He is speaking to Christians. And I trust that if you are a Christian here, you would hear what Paul is saying and that you would agree with him in all that he is saying to us in terms of what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ in giving us salvation. Now, we can spend a lot of time teasing that out and looking at the details of what Christ has done for us and getting very deep and heavy into theology. But I thought on a night like this, we would take some encouragement and some exhortation from the Word of God. So as we sit just about to enter into a new year, let me ask you, what is new in this year to come? What is new? What's going to be new for you in this year? Well, I thought about this and I thought in my mind those words, "What is new" there, and the words to the song which we used to sing, which we don't sing that often anymore. The song goes, "I am a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things have passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man." Do you remember that song? Some of the youngsters may not know it. You haven't even heard that song being sung before, but it's a wonderful song to sing. It's an encouraging song to sing. It's really stirred up my heart when I thought through the words of that song again. Well, I'm going to call up some of the kids. So, you see, when I was a child, I really enjoyed playing with bubbles. And this time of the year, it was kite season and going to the beach. And one of the things around this time of the year was bubbles. So, I have some bubbles here, just in front of me. And so, if I can call up all of the children. So, quickly come up. There we go. Kirsty. Anyone else? Little kids there. Oh, there we go. Bring them forward. Let's have the little kids come front. Kimberly might be a little too tiny for this one. I'm going to call Amy. Amy doesn't know she's coming up front, but she's a school teacher, so she'll be good with this, I hope. It works. I tested it out before I came here. Let me just make sure. There we go. Let's give the kids a little bit of fun. Now, do you like bubbles? Do you like to play with bubbles?
Cassie was looking forward to those. She's all sad. She woke up from sleep. Maybe just blow it there for them, Amy. Let them catch a few bubbles.
Amy, it's not a trick. It works. Yeah, there we go. I don't have lollipops for this. Inun, you got some lollipops there. There we go. Come on, Amy. Just blow some up and about. Shame, our little Dylan is not getting anything. Catch it. It's going to drop. Okay. I think we can take them to the back and they can play with the bubbles out the back if they want to. It's strange how a simple thing like bubbles can draw out excitement. If you leave the children by themselves with bubbles, you know, you're going to see just now, they might make some noise at the back there. But how much of fun can be drawn out from, and you wouldn't believe it, eh? Just soapy water and a whole lot of air. And that's basically what it is. Well, whoever thought of that, Indran, maybe our next family quiz, put up a question there. Well, the reason why I called up the kids as well is not just to try and entertain them and distract them at the back there. But it seems like year after year, people are chasing bubbles. People are playing with bubbles. I'll tell you what I mean. You see, this year we may have been chasing bubbles in the sense that the world itself throws out all these things in front of us. And like little children, we run to them. And as soon as we try to grab them or make them a part of our life or we follow after these things and they touch something, it pops. And it's gone. And it just seems as though we've been chasing bubbles, only to find out that as soon as we touch it or it touches something else, it bursts and it's gone, and there our bubble has been burst. And we have nothing. And you know what it reminded me? It reminded me of what we've been learning. If you've been listening carefully in this year, we've been learning from Ecclesiastes. Bishop has been preaching a series through that. And we've been learning from Ecclesiastes about this chasing after the wind, about all that is meaningless, all that is vain, vanity, vanity, the writer says in Ecclesiastes. And we've been chasing after bubbles, we've been chasing after vain things, haven't we? Things that don't last, things that have no eternal value, things that give us no satisfaction on a long time basis. It's just like kids playing with bubbles. Now you see what the world does for us, what the devil does to us as he preys on our sinful nature. James tells us about that in chapter 1. What it does is it looks at the sinful nature within us and it blows out these bubbles of things in front of us. And it teases us and it tempts us towards these things. And all the while, it's actually offering us nothing. Absolutely nothing. And like children, well, I like bubbles. I must tell you, I like bubbles because it keeps Kirsten entertained for a long period of time and she comes back tired and she has some water or something and she goes to sleep. That's what I need at times. And you see, sometimes what the world does to us is it uses up our energy and our resources and our time and it just keeps drawing us further and further and further away from our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bubbles. You see, it is like they're chasing after the wind. Now, this year we've also been going through John's Gospel in our homes with families. And what we've been observing there and learning from this Gospel, from the life of Jesus, what we've been listening to in His words, is something that is substantial. It is something that has value. It is something that has weight for eternity. Now, while the world lures us with its meaningless bubbles and attractions, Jesus offers us the life-giving and eternal Word. He offers us true satisfaction like we've never known it. And you need to go back and read through John's Gospel and you see all that he tells us about it. See, in a world that we're living right now, the world of trouble, in a world of despair, in a world of sadness and misery, a world of sickness, a world of corruption, in a world of greed, and a world of immorality, and all sorts of wickedness and ungodliness and injustice, and on and on and on the list can go. In such a world, Jesus has come into, and He has proclaimed Himself as the one who gives relief from all this, but even far more than a relief from all that can be described of in this world. He gives us life. For the Christian, Jesus gives eternal life. For the Christian, Jesus gives comfort. For the Christian, Jesus gives peace. For the Christian, Jesus gives healing and contentment. He gives justice. He gives satisfaction. He gives us purity. He gives us love, joy, kindness, hope, and the list can go on. You see, what Jesus does is that He makes us, who were once filth and a stench in the eyes of God, who were once the objects of the wrath of God, He makes us a pleasing aroma before the Lord. What Jesus does is He makes us acceptable to God. What Jesus does, He takes us who were once alienated and enemies with God, and He makes us friends with God. And He makes us children of God. And He does all of this, not just for now, but He does it forever. That's far more substantial. Now, while I like Kirsten to play with bubbles at home, because it tires her out and she goes to sleep and she doesn't trouble us much, until she wakes up again. But I would rather have Kirsten eat her food, which she doesn't like to do. I would rather have Kirsten brush her teeth properly, which she doesn't like to do. I'm talking about earthly things now. Now, on a spiritual level, while she's very good when she sees a mum running to her with a quick smack when she's done something wrong and she wants to say, "Sorry, mum," I would rather Kirsten have her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we baptized her a few years ago. I'd rather she have that relationship right. And so what happens is, sometimes we get confused between what is earthly and what is eternal. What is temporary and what is eternal. Sometimes we throw more emphasis and more value on what only lasts for the lifespan of man than what lasts in eternity. I don't know if I'm making sense to you. But if we are not to be chasing after the bubbles of this life, what are we to be doing? Well, look again to chapter 2 of Colossians, verses 9 to 15, and look at what it says to us about Christ. That in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in body. He is God. And you have been given the fullness of Christ. He is the head. He is our leader. He is the one in charge. He is the one who has authority. He has power. Verse 11. In Him we were circumcised. We have the spiritual circumcision of our hearts. We have been buried with Him. Verse 12. We have been raised with Him through faith, which He has given us. It tells us there, in the power of God, who raised Christ from the dead. Now it tells us about us in verse 13 that we were dead in our sins. That in the uncircumcised state of our sinful nature, we have been made alive with Christ. What has He done for us? He goes on to say that He forgave us all of our sins. It says that it has cancelled the written code with its regulations. All of that stood against us and it held us guilty before God. And He took it upon Himself on the cross. And He has also disarmed the powers and the authorities. He made a public spectacle over them. And He triumphed over them on the cross. So that in Him now we have the victory. And so if you know that in Jesus Christ we have everything that we could ever need for this life and for the life that is to come, and all things regarding our salvation, then how are we to live in this life? How are we to go on living as we enter into a new year? Well, look at verse 6 and 7. It says there, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. That is what we are to do. We are to be, in verse 7, rooted in Him. That is where we draw all things that we need for our life. And built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now this has indeed been a very tough year for many of us. And it seems like we have not cut the umbilical cord of sin. You see, in chapter 3 of Colossians in verse 5, we are called to put to death. We are called to cut this umbilical cord of the sinful nature, to stop being fed from it, but to be fed from the nourishment that comes as we are rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 of chapter 3, put to death therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And so friends, are we playing with bubbles? Do we want to still chase bubbles and find that we've been chasing after nothing? Well, I want to close for us with the words of a song, which again, perhaps some of you may not know, but I trust you would listen carefully. For those of you who know it, what another great encouragement. It's been a tough year for many of us, and the Lord Jesus has been faithful, and this is the God we want to speak about. The song comes from the words of Johnson Oatman Jr., and the name of the song is Count Your Blessings. The words to this hymn go as such. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. The chorus goes on to say, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Verse 2 says, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. And the chorus comes in again, and then verse 3. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Wealth can never buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be disheartened. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. What a wonderful hymn. What a wonderful encouragement which lines up and ties up with the Word of God, with the testimonies that we have been hearing, and with all that God is still able to do in 2014. I trust that you would give your life to Him and that you would continue serving Him, following Him, rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? And Bishop's going to lead us after that. Our Father, we thank You that Jesus has taken all of the sin in our life past and that which is to come. And He has taken it upon the cross on which He was nailed as He died in our place. And now, Lord, in Him, as He has taken our place, we have all of the victories. And Father, we pray that our life from here on would be one of steadfastness, one that would be rooted in Christ, drawing all that we need from Him. Only for Your glory and for Your honor, for Your praise. May we live a life of thankfulness. even when life may seem difficult. Help us to count our blessings, to name them one by one, and indeed it will surprise us what you have done. Amen.